Entertainment means to amuse. Last week we talked about entertainment or entrapment, and I shared with you that you never see a trap out in the open. You don't see people setting big, wild traps with no bait and just putting a trap somewhere. Traps are disguised. Traps have something that lures something to the trap. And the area of entertainment has become a spiritual trap for many Christians. I read some testimonies this week on this subject. One of the testimonies I read is this from a grown Christian. There's no doubt that television and movies fed my carnal imagination, and together with rock and roll, inflamed me with a passion for the things of the world. This person, looking back on their life, a portion of their life, came to this conclusion that television, movies, and rock and roll turned them against God and gave them a passion for the world. You can't sleep with the world and sleep with God. You can't be a friend of the world and be a friend with God. This person realized that he became a friend of the world, and he did it primarily through means of entertainment. That means it became a trap in his life. One family testified, gave this testimony. We used to refer to our TV as a time vacuum, because when we had it, we watched it just because it was there. Every time they had free time, the family was testifying that they had given all of their time. Anytime that anybody had time free, they gave it to entertainment. Entertainment had become an entrapment. Here's another testimony I read. I always tell people that 3 to 4 hours of church a week can't hold a candle to 30 to 40 hours of television as far as power and influence on a young child. Church was boring. Television was fun. Do you think that's happening today? Do you think that that's happening with young people that come to church and think, man, I cannot wait till this gets over. This is boring. Why is it boring? Because they're being fed entertainment, Hollywood, movies, television shows, social media sites, all of their lives, all week long. And church just simply doesn't compare. It's one of the reasons why I've not moved to a lot of screens in our church. I don't want us to get used to eyeball stuff. I don't want us to come to the realization that in order for us to have church, we've got to be entertained with our eyes. I'm not saying putting something on the screen. I did it for this series and in the King James Version issue. I think that you can communicate effectively by affecting the eyes and teaching tools and things like that. But we are not moving to an all-screen church for the sake of, I don't want us to get used to, we have to have all that to have church. That's what the entertainment world is pushing towards us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 21, the Bible says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Last week we began down the road of looking at tests that would cause us to ask questions regarding this particular area of our lives. Prove means to test. I, as a Christian, am to test things. I'm not just to swallow everything. Remember last week, part of the pastor's responsibility is to bring people along to where they're not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but that they are discerners, that they have developed discernment, that they are testers, that they are skeptical about everything that comes our way, and that they know how to discern between that which is bad and that which is good, that which is good and that which is better, that which is better and that which is best. Christians ought to be able to take the test of Scripture and be able to do that about all areas of life. And the principles of Scripture affect this area of our lives. First of all, we looked at last week, the test of the eyes, the test of the eyes. We found it in Luke chapter 11, verses 34 and 36. And what we learned about that was this. If we take evil in with our eyes, it affects the whole body. The light of the body affecteth the body itself. So if I take in darkness, if I take in evil, then my whole body, the Bible says, becomes darkness, becomes evil. The test of the eye gate, what I allow into my eyes is very important. What comes across the screens that I give myself to are very important. Where I give my eyes to and what I give my eyes to is very important. Secondly, we learn the test of distraction. Is technology, media, and entertainment in your home keeping you or your children from fulfilling daily responsibilities? Because I'll tell you what, if you give yourself to this thing wholeheartedly, you'll become a very lazy person. You'll become a person that's consumed with all of these things, addicted to these things, and as a result, start leaving out daily responsibilities. One of the things that we made in our home years ago as these things began to come out was we made a commitment. The commitment was this: if we haven't had our devotions, we're certainly not going to give our attention to something on the phone or on the television or on any of these matters today. We are going to fulfill spiritual duties and spiritual responsibilities first. That's important. One of the ways God or Satan is using this distraction in people's lives is it's distracting them from daily duties. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. It's also distracting us from looking on the needs of others. In verse number 4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Entertainment, movies, television, social media websites is mainly about me. What I enjoy. What amuses me. All the time stealing our minds away from focusing on others, from finding a need to meet. The principle of distraction. Third principle is the principle or the test of temperance. Parents, if you're working with your children, guess what? You're not going to keep them from a cell phone forever. News alert. I believe that it's wise to keep them from a cell phone. Certain stages of their lives, I don't think that children necessarily need it. Don't think the teens necessarily need it. But as your young person grows up, your young person's going to become adult. Are you going to control them from a cell phone at that point? At 25 years old, are you going to tell your son, son, sorry, I'm going to run your home and run your life. You're not having a cell phone. No, I don't think you're going to do that. So what should you be working with your children with while they're in your home? One of the principles you ought to be working with is the principle of temperance. Temperance means what? I say no to myself. Temperance means what? I know how to practice self-control. Temperance means what? When everybody else is just welcoming it all, temperance says, you know what? I'm going to beat my body into subjection on some things. Paul practiced that principle. I'm just not going to be free for all on all of these matters. There are things that are going to guide me. There are restrictions that I'm going to build in to myself. I told our teenagers as youth pastor, when I was youth pastor for 10 years here, I said, listen, if mom and dad tell you to be home at 11 o'clock and that's your curfew, then you set the line before the line and you set self-control to be home at 10 o'clock or 10:15 and you practice personal self-control. Talked to my kids this week. We had devotions. You can verify it with them. I said, listen, I'm not going to tell you everywhere that you have to restrict yourself, and I'm not going to build every restriction into you, but I'm asking you this week to practice temperance in some area. Gave them the area that we talked about. Said the next time a desire comes up in that area, I'm asking you to consider the word no. I'm not going to do that. I want to do that, but I'm not going to do that. Why? Because self-control is important for life. If you're working with children, young people in your home, we've got to get across the principle of personal discipline / self-control. The test of temperance, Galatians mentions it as a fruit of the Spirit. The test of maturity, Psalm 101, we learned that last week. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Here's where maturity shows up. Maturity shows up when you're by yourself. And you've made a commitment. I'm going to walk before the Lord. I'm going to behave myself wisely with a perfect heart. Young men out of high school, listen to me. You got to have some things put down in your life. That when nobody else is around, you got some things that says, doesn't matter if somebody's watching me, Doesn't matter. I'm not fearful about a report to my father or a report to somebody else. I've got an internal guide that tells me I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way when I'm alone. That's what the psalmist was saying. Spiritual maturity brought him to a point. Young men, may I just give you some wise advice tonight? When everybody else goes to bed, it's good for you to go to bed. It's not good for you to be up late. It's not good for you to be by yourself. It's not good for you to be in a room with a television on and a DVD putting into the television. When you're all alone by yourself, you are opening yourself up for attacks. You would be wise to build some things into your life and some wise things into your life that says, you know what? I'm not going to put myself in alone situations all the time, especially in the field of entertainment. It would be wise for you to put a filter on your cell phone. My cell phone has a filter. It's called NetNanny. NetNanny cost us $50 a year. You know what NetNanny does? NetNanny takes every website and sends it to my wife's email. Every website that I hit goes to my wife's email. You say, preacher, why is that important? Because I want to behave myself wisely. And in behaving myself wisely, there are some things that I want to protect in my life, and there are some things that you ought to want to protect in order to behave yourself wisely. These are wise things. I'm giving you some wisdom tonight in this area. The test of wicked things. In Psalm 102, verse number 3, part of that maturity says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. This verse single-handedly forbids the child of God to watch the vast majority of the movies and television programs that are made today. Consider with me just a few of the wicked things that you or your children will see if you watch most of television and most of the movies today. And when I say most, I'm in the high 90% percentile. You'll see the breaking of God's commandments. That's wickedness. You will see the flaunting of immorality. That's wickedness. You will see casual drinking or drunkenness or drug usage. That, my friend, is wickedness. You will see violence. You will see enticing dancing on television. You will see contact, physical contact outside the bounds of marriage. You will see mockery of the things of God. You will see mockery of God's people. You will see pagan religions depicted as truth. You will see occult and paganism and humanism and evolution and the New Age. All of that is through the sound waves today. And may I say, all of it is wicked. So the psalmist made a commitment here. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'm not going to put that in front of my eyes. But I'll tell you what's happening. Christians are becoming desensitized. And as a result, these things just come across the television and we don't even think about it as wicked. That's just society. No, it's wicked. In the eyes of God, it's wicked. According to the book, it's wicked. All right? The psalmist made a commitment, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, but we become numb to the sinful, worldly, wicked images, music, shows, games, language, scenes, and we get caught in the snare of violating the principle of wicked things. There's another test I want to give you tonight. It's the test of the spirits, 1 John chapter 4. Will you turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4? Say, preacher, how am I going to remember this? You can do two things. Number one, you can get a CD. You can download this sermon from the website to hear it again. But at the end of the service tonight, I'm going to give you a handout. I've typed out all the tests with the questions. And then I've typed out practical considerations in the field of entertainment. All right? I want to put it in writing because a lot of times we'll leave a message and before the end of the next week, we've forgotten. And I want to put something in writing that you could remember, that you could review, that you could use for family devotion. Sir, in your home as the head of your home, that you could look at and ask the tough questions and make the tough adjustments related to your home based upon the principles, the tests of God's word. Test number 5, the test of spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Could I ask you some questions tonight the things that come across your television screen, the things that you watch on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, are they things that the Spirit of God would sit down and watch with you joyfully? Ah, let's sit down, me and the Holy Spirit. Let's watch this together. Could you watch it with the Holy Spirit? Joyfully. Because not everything is in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Here the Bible says, try the spirits, whether they be of God. Some young people get into horror stuff. Question, do you think that the horror movies that are out there today really reflect the Spirit of God? Or do you think they might reflect the spirit of the world? Even the spirit of Antichrist. Test the spirits. You say, preacher, how do I know if it's right or wrong? Put it through tests. One of the tests is the spirits. It is the job of a believer to test all things, and it is the job of the believer to use this specific test. Test the spirits. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now, how's that going to happen? Giving heed to seducing spirits. Now, I got a question for you as we look at that verse and we think about this test. Does that mean that most of us are going to deal with a satanic, demonic spirit that's going to cause us to depart from the faith? That we're going to see a demon in our house? Shouldn't happen for a Christian. If you're not giving place to the devil, that should never happen. You should never be in contact with other spirits. But I tell you where the seducing spirits are drawing people away from the faith. Right through our eye gate and ear gate. Right through the means of entertainment. Seducing us away, causing us to be softer towards sin, causing us to look at things differently, causing us to adopt the terminology of the world. So today the world uses things like, when we talk about sin, the world uses disease. You know, well, you have a disease. Alcohol is a disease. Homosexuality, that's a birth defect. You know, that was in your genes. Hogwash. It's sin in the Bible. But seducing spirits are leading believers astray from what they used to believe. And it happens in the realm of entertainment. Years ago, they came out with a show, I think it was called Touched by an Angel or something along the time, something about angels. And little truth, a lot of error. Okay? Seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. It causes us to depart from the faith. Test the spirits. Test the spirits whether they are of God. The Hunger Games came out. I remember a number of years ago, I pulled a parent meeting real quick for teenagers. The reason I pulled that parent meeting is something came out that all the teens were interested in. Hunger Games. Man, this is cool. Oh, it's really cool, slaughtering people. Really cool, seeing how violent you can be in killing people. Test the spirit. Oh, that, I don't think that lines up with the Holy Spirit. Harry Potter, big craze in the entertainment world. A number of years ago, all the cards that came out with this. And some Christians, this looks good. Seducing spirit, not of God, not aligned with the Holy Spirit, not right. We must be detecting, we must be discerning the spirits that are involved. Not all are of God. The test of simplicity. Next, quickly, the test of simplicity. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Here's a good question as you're evaluating. Young fathers, listen to me. You are building patterns in your children at 3, 4, 5 years old. You're feeding things, and depending on what you're feeding, it can grow into monsters down the road. It's important that you are discerning, even when they're young, that you're very discerning. One of the things that you ought to be discerning about is simplicity regarding evil. Romans chapter 16, look at verse number 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. Do the things that you read, the places that you go, the music that you listen to, the social media that you give your eyes to, the shows that you watch, the video games that you play, do they keep you simple or naive concerning evil? Or are they exposing you or your children to more knowledge about evil? More foul language. The Bible says here, one of the principles of Scripture is that we ought to be working in our lives to give ourselves to things that keep us simple regarding evil. Wise regarding good. Boy, I learn about what's good and what's right in my life. But I don't want to get myself involved, my mind involved, my eyes, my ears involved in anything that would give me more information about evil. Some parents are wacky on this. I've heard this philosophy. Well, preacher, they just got to experience it in order to learn it. No, they do not. The biblical principle here is simple concerning evil. Well, my kids were just, or I was just too protected. I'm not going to protect my kids that way. I'm going to let them experience it. You're a fool. You're not in alignment with Scripture. It is not bad to protect kids from the knowledge of evil. In fact, God tried to protect Adam and Eve from that. That was why the boundary was given. But they didn't pay attention to the boundary. I just spoke to our young men in VBS about using slang that is not becoming of a Christian who is pursuing holiness. We pick up words. We pick up phrases. They are not God-honoring. They do not clearly identify us with the Lord. They do not promote spirituality. Where do you pick that up from? Where do you pick those words up from? I'll tell you where you pick those words up from. You pick those words up by what you hear and what you see. The field of entertainment. The test of progression. The next test, turn to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8. Television and the entertainment world is a slippery slope. It is getting progressively worse. Like the frog in the gradually heated pot, it is very easy for you as a Christian to become desensitized to the progression of evil that is coming across our airwaves, our computers, every which way into our lives. We have the example in Ezekiel chapter 8. Prophet is in contact with God. In verse number 5, it says, "Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold northward at the gate of the altar this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations." We have great abominations in verse number 6. But I want you to look at verse number 9. It says, "And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here." So speaking of the 70 men of Israel, ancient men, older men, that should know better, but are involved in great abominations, in wicked abominations. Verse number 12. "Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see what? Greater abominations." Do you understand that when your eyes and your ears get involved in something that's wrong, it doesn't remain stagnant. It moves. And Hollywood is moving. And the world is moving. And it's progressing in the wrong direction at an alarming rate. You have to understand. And this is a good question. This is a good question for every believer, young person, older person alike. You have to ask this question: what did I approve of 5 years ago? When I turn on the television, or when I listen to the radio, or when I was on the internet, what did I approve 5 years ago? And have I allowed my eyes and my ears to approve things that are worse today? Because there is the test of progression. And if you keep moving with the world, guess what? It's going to progress in a wrong direction for you. If you keep moving with Hollywood, if you keep up with the ratings. By the way, there are ratings by the world. Well, if it's PG, it must be okay. If it's PG-13, well, if it's R, I kind of set my line at R, Pastor. I just don't go anything beyond R. Do you ever think what God's ratings are? Do you ever think that here comes out a movie? It's just known for foul language. I wonder what God's rating would be. That's all right. I don't think so. I think you take that one and go, that's not for me. But the world's ratings have changed. What the world promotes. You know that the world doesn't even put in their ratings homosexuality or transgenderism. It's not even ranked as wrong or a level of wrong or a level of mature audiences. It's sold. In fact, it's being sold in our public schools at the kindergarten level. Going into our kindergartners and telling our kindergartners, hey, you have a choice as to what you want to be. Man or woman. You can make that choice. Now, brother, I'm sorry. 15 years ago, that wasn't happening. But the world is progressing. The test of progression. The test of company. The test of company. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. The test of company. You say, preacher, I didn't know there was so much the Bible had to say about this. Oh, listen, the Bible's jam-packed the principles. Jam-packed with tests to help us to say, hey, the world's moving, but I've got to figure this thing out. How do I figure this thing out? I put things through the biblical grid. I put things through the test of Scripture. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You say, preacher, I just like to get the news. I watch CNN News. Did you know Anderson Cooper is an open homosexual? Do you know that when you watch the news, you are allowing an open homosexual to influence your life? You make that choice if you want. That's not the company I want to be around. That's not the company I'm going to give my ears, my eyes to, or anything to. Not going to get my time. Shouldn't get your time. Wrong company. The wrong company. In Psalm 26, he says, I have hated the congregation of evildoers. And here's an interesting phrase. And will not sit with the wicked. Young people, if you have a problem, you have an allurement to Hollywood, I would encourage you to do some research. I'd encourage you to do some research on their marriages. And just find out how many stay together. You know what the percent will be? I guarantee it'll be under 10%. I would do some research about their STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. Brethren, I'm saying tonight, this world is wicked. And because it's wicked, we should not be choosing to sit in its company. Go to its movies. Throw our dollars so they can make more junk. There's some believers tonight, you've never made a conviction about going to the movie theater, you ought to. You ought to come to the conclusion tonight, I go to the movie theater, I am just feeding this junk. First of all, I'm feeding it into my mind. Secondly, I'm feeding money at it so they can go make more of it so I can come back and watch more of it and be enslaved to it. And take in all the sights and all the scenes and all the language and everything that's coming through, the philosophies, all the transgenderism, all the homosexuality into my life because it entertains me. It amuses me. By the way, you can get the same junk into your home through Netflix and everything else. So it's not just staying away from the movie theater. It's guarding what's coming through your home as well. Ephesians chapter 5, but fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Listen, you can guard yourself against all of these sins that are not to be named once among us as become a saint if you guard your heart by staying away from this filth that comes through the eye gate and the ear gate. My, we could have so much better victory in our lives if we would make some holy decisions regarding these things. Trying to help us tonight. We pray for revival. Sunday nights, we pray for revival. Been doing it for years. Men on their knees together before God. But I guarantee you, you're not going to see revival if your mind's in all this junk all the time. It's far, far away from your life. The test of darkness, John chapter 3. Verse number 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. What do you listen to that you have to cover? Headphones on everybody today. Not against headphones. You're mowing the lawn, you don't want to listen to the lawn mow. You don't want to listen to the lawnmower maybe for all that time. You put on headphones, okay? But what do you have to guard and hide and do in the dark because you don't want somebody else to know? Gentlemen, what text did you send this week that you had to delete right after you sent it? Just in case somebody checked your phone. Gentlemen, young men, I want to speak to you tonight. I would advise you to stay away from a social media site called Snapchat. You know why I would advise you to stay away from that site? Because that site is built on violating this principle, darkness. That site promotes the ability to put something on the internet and erase it within 10 minutes so that you can have a certain group see it and then another group in your life that you don't want to see it, they won't see it. Here the principle is that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Men love darkness. Men love times of privacy. Men love times where nobody's seen. Men love darkness at night. Why do crimes take place at night? Because deeds are evil. And entertainment choices that you have to do in the dark or you have to cover up are not right. It has failed the test of darkness. The test of expediency. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. You may be involved in something, and it's not necessarily wrong. It's just not necessarily best. That's the principle. Paul said, I tested some things by this principle, and I found out they were not best for me. The test of edification. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. The application of this principle for me a couple of weeks ago, as I shared a couple of last week with you, was in the area of Facebook. Is Facebook an evil thing? No, it's not an evil thing. Be used for good purposes, but it can be used for evil purposes. I was grading my life in some areas, running my life through some tests. And as I was running my life through some tests, the area of Facebook did not pass this test for me at this time in my life. It was not building me up. It was not edifying. So I went snip and got out of Facebook. Now, that may not be the application that God uses in your life. I'm not telling any, I don't want you going out. Pastor thinks that everybody ought to be off Facebook. I'm not saying that today. Facebook can be used for good things. But in your life, you have to run things through biblical tests. Okay? The biblical test of edification. Lastly, the biblical test of stewardship. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Buying back time. Here's a good exercise if you're really serious in this area. In finances, somebody will teach you that if you're going to put together a budget, you keep track of your expenses for 2 to 3 months. In keeping track of your expenses, you will generally find how you spend your money. You'll then build a budget accordingly to how you've spent your money. I would challenge you to keep a record this week. How much time am I spending?
I'm not talking about a cell phone for work, gentlemen. I understand there's necessities for those things. But in the realm of media, in the realm of movies, in the realm of television, in the realm of the news, in the realm of Facebook, in the realm of all the social media sites, in the realm of how many times you check your phone during the day, how much time is it taking of your life? Because the Bible says we are to be buying back time. We are stewards of our time. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." The principles, all the principles that I've given you tonight, with the exception of the last one that I did not get to, the principle of replacement, all of the principles are given. Now, if you're not interested, say, "Preacher, I don't really care what you're saying on this front," then throw the piece of paper away. But I do believe there are some people that are interested on this front to please the Lord, to evaluate things as a Christian, to test myself personally in these areas. All right? There are tests on the front page, beginning with the test of the eyes and going to the back page and ending with the test of replacement. But tests only reveal where the problem is. There then has to be a step or a decision or a change for me to bring my life into the alignment of the test. And so on the back page tonight, I'm giving you some considerations on this front. All right? Practical considerations in the field of entertainment. Number one, I challenge you to do this. Go through your DVD library, your music library, your video game library, your website favorites, your music on your phone. Evaluate your library by the biblical test above. Anything that violates one of the tests, simply file in the trash. That means I'm more concerned about pleasing God than I am about pleasing myself. Entertainment is amusement, but if it doesn't pass biblical tests, then I'm going to get rid of it. All right? Number two, consider daily or weekly time limits in your home and in your personal life to ensure that you are fulfilling your daily responsibilities, you are focusing on the needs of others, and that God gets the first part and the best part of your day. Parents, you can get a filter for computers. You can put a filter on your television. You can put a filter on phones that covers time limits. I'm only going to give a window of an hour. I'm not going to allow it to be used after 10 o'clock in the evening. Okay? I'm giving you some wisdom tonight. This area is out of control. And it cannot be out of control in the life of a Christian, particularly in a Christian home. We've got to rein it in. We've got to control it. Consider time limits. Consider, third, a fast from some of your choices or all of them so that you can show the Lord that you want to draw closer to Him and are willing to set things aside to seek Him first. Consider that. Some have done that. I personally have done that a number of times in my life. Set this whole area aside to just say, "Lord, I just want to be with you. Lord, I just want to show you that these things are not as important to me as you are important to me." Consider that. Consider getting rid of your television. You know, preachers years ago used to preach against them. Everybody thought, "There's no Bible for that." But you know, not a bad idea. Might be something that you just simply can't control in your home. Might need to get rid of it. Make a renewed decision that you will not give your eyes and ears to any shows, movies, video games, friends on Facebook that use foul, wicked language, that promote homosexuality, transgenderism, questionable material, lying, or violence. I believe tonight, when I give the invitation, I believe there ought to be a host of people up here renewing that commitment right there. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Lord, I got loose. Lord, I let things go. Lord, the world is progressing. Lord, I don't see wickedness as I saw it before. Lord, I'm renewing my commitment tonight on that front. I'm not going to give my eyes on purpose to anything that is wicked. Make a commitment to use social media to post spiritual truth that will edify you and others, and resist the urge to post idle things that waste your time and the time of others. Resist the urge to do that. I'm not going to waste time of others. I just got up and put on my new makeup today. Who cares? You know what? You wasted your time in posting it, and you wasted everybody else's time in reading it. And we are throwing time down the drain. Time is a precious commodity from the Lord. And we ought to respect it that way. We ought to come to that conclusion. We as believers, ought to make those kind of commitments. Make a covenant with your eyes not to set anything wicked before them, knowing that my heart is at stake. The eye affects the heart. Principle of the eye gate, test of the eye gate. Make a decision that you will keep your eye gate and ear gate from anything that would give you more knowledge concerning evil. I'm to be simple concerning evil. My children are to be simple concerning evil. My job as a dad is to guard that in my home. It's your job, Daddy, to do the same thing. Make a decision to put out of your life choices that don't please God, and replace them with profitable choices that don't violate the tests. Do an inventory of the company you are keeping via Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and other social media outlets. You are known by your company. Be willing to unfriend those who are not headed in a spiritual direction. Oh, preacher, what are you saying? You're trying to start a cult. No, I'm trying to protect your heart. You can't protect your heart and run with that kind of company. You can't protect your heart and run in the opposite with somebody that's running in the opposite direction of where the Lord wants you to go. Do an inventory of the company you keep through your online video games. Replace time with wrong company with time in God's Word. Psalms chapter number 1. You say, preacher, pretty serious matter. Yeah, it's a big serious matter. It's not being touched today in pulpits and churches. And as a result, Christians are being carried away. I've tried to do biblical research. I've tried to bring you to some truth so that you can look at some tests. Because we as a church need to come to a point where we approve and test things that are excellent. I'm not passing this handout tonight out, but it is in the back. It's a yellow handout that looks like this. Below are some choices that cause us to come apart from the TV, cell phone, video games, social media, and focus on God, our family, others, helping to build relationships, and cause us to live more productive lives. If you're going to put some of this off, what you're going to find is you're going to be sitting down in your chair thinking, what am I going to do? I need. You're going to find withdrawal. When we deal with a drunkard, we say, get rid of that stuff. But then you got to replace that time with something else. I have given a whole list of ideas that certainly is expandable, that you in your life can replace all that time with media and entertainment with much more productive things. We could live so much more productive lives as Christians, I think, if we could just get a grip in this area of our lives. I'm not preaching something to you that I don't personally struggle with. I live in the same world that you live in. I have to make choices. I have to constantly be evaluating, testing, trimming, guarding, all of those things. So do you.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives.
Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,